This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a beautiful day to be in worship together, and it's my joy to welcome you, whether you're here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream from somewhere very, very far away or even close by. We are grateful to be together in this time of worship. And it is my joy to welcome you. If this is your first time worshiping here at West End, I hope that you feel welcomed in this place, that you have an opportunity to meet some of the friends sitting around you, and that you experience the love and Spirit of Christ moving among us this morning. I would invite everyone to take a moment to sign in as we gather, whether you're online, there's a link you can place in your browser, or here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row for you to sign, or you can also scan the QR code that's in the bulletin and sign in digitally. All of those things work, hopefully. We had trouble with technology this week, didn't we? But hopefully all of these things will work. There are many things going on in the life of the congregation today and opportunities to worship and serve and spend time together. Down in McWhorter Hall at 11:15, there is a one-day membership class, and some of you have already signed up and already know about that, but if you didn't know about it and you would like to attend, walk-ins are welcome. So that's at 11:15, just below where we are. We have a big celebration going on in the gym, also on the first floor, for Christmas in July. This is a Habitat fundraiser for us, and we're going to be taking that theme of Christmas in July from that celebration even into worship this morning. So I invite you to enter into a spirit of Christmas worship as we gather today and take some time to head downstairs. You can buy some baked goods, get your picture taken with Santa, play some games. It's going to be a lot of fun, especially for kids, but for the child in all of us. So please stop by there. It starts right after the worship service. And then at 5 p.m. today, we'll have a service of Tezé worship, as we do regularly. We invite you to come to that service of singing and contemplative prayer. Next Sunday will be our last Sunday with the summer schedule. So we'll have a 10 o'clock worship service next Sunday, followed by a big band party. Our own Wayne Underhill is part of a big band, and they are going to play for us, and there will be grilled food and all sorts of good things. So make sure and keep time on your calendar to participate in that big summer send-off next Sunday. And then on August 4th, we'll return to our regularly scheduled programming, which is an 8:45 service, Sunday school at 9:45, and an 11 o'clock service. We're looking forward to that return to our regular rhythms. Part of our regular rhythm is children's choirs on Wednesday nights. Registration is now open, and the choirs will begin practicing on August 21st. So make sure and sign your children up. The link is in the bulletin. And now it is time for us to open ourselves to the good news of Christ's birth, of the incarnation of God into our world. So let us prepare ourselves to receive this good news and to worship our God who calls us to celebrate this good news.
Please join me in the call to worship printed in your bulletin. Come to me, all who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. On you has a great light shone, for Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. We join with angels in their hymn of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Alleluia. Trusting that this God of the Incarnation is always drawing near to us with mercy, compassion, grace, and forgiveness, let us make our confession before God and one another. O God, full of creative and sustaining light, we confess that we too often turn away from the beams of your glory. Your searching luminescence finds its way into all crevices, offering truth and grace. Yet we feel exposed and seen and seek to return to the secrecy of darkness. Forgive us, we pray, and open our eyes to know what you desire for us to know. May we see your light as a beacon of comfort and peace as we yearn to be more like you. Shine your light into the darkest places, drawing all people to the grace offered by your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear this good news. Christ Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us now exchange signs of Christ's peace and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. And this morning, Melissa and Steve Robertson bring their son before God and before this community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Melissa and Steve, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people. If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. And my friends in the congregation, it is now your turn to make your promises and take your vows. Do you, as Christ's body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say we do.
We do.
will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and to clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives with you in the Holy Spirit and reigns forever. Amen.
Okay, Melissa and Steve, what name have you given your son?
Cameron Wesley.
Cameron Wesley. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who will live with you and accompany you all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. Okay, Cameron Wesley, we're going to move a little closer to Mommy and Daddy, and I invite you to place a hand on him somewhere, and Pastor Shannon, too, and we're all going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Cameron Wesley, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. That's an amen, isn't it? All right, Cameron Wesley, you have a wonderful middle name. It's very Methodist. We love the name Wesley around here, and we love the name Cameron, too. And you know what? We already love you. You are part of this church family, and you're looking at these stained glass windows from the families and generations that came before us, and they're looking on you with joy and love. And all of us now who are the congregation here are going to make our promise to support you and show you God's love and to teach you and to let you teach us, too, the ways of love and how much God loves us through Jesus. So we're going to listen as the congregation stands together and makes their vows to God and to you.
Members of the household of God, I commend Cameron Wesley to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given to you, Cameron Wesley, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Would you remain standing and join me in the prayer for illumination? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. If you wish to follow along, please turn to page 92 in the New Testament in the Pew Bible. Del Evangelio de Juan, escuchen la lectura. En el principio ya existía la palabra. La palabra estaba con Dios y Dios mismo era la palabra. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But all who received him, all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." La palabra de Dios para el pueblo de Dios. The word of God for the people of God. Gracias damos a Dios.
Thank you.
invite the grown-ups to be seated and invite the children to continue making your way forward. And if you are worshiping online, maybe you're on a trip somewhere, I'll invite you to come a little closer to your screens because this time is for you. Welcome, welcome. So glad to see everybody. Oh, look, more coming. Come on down. Come up through the middle or however you can get here. Glad to see all of you. Can you tell me what season of the year this is? Spring, summer, winter, fall?
Summer. Yes.
It's summer. And what are some of the things you like to do in the summer?
Play basketball.
Play basketball. Football. Sleep. Sleep. Yes. Summer. Your birthday's in the summer. So is mine. I like to swim and eat popsicles. And boy, it gets warm, doesn't it? Do you like to celebrate Christmas in the summer?
It doesn't make sense.
I wish. I know. Christmas isn't in the summertime. It's in the wintertime where we live. I'm used to celebrating Christmas and coming to church with my coat and being really cold and looking for snow. But you know what? We can really celebrate Christmas any time of year because it's always good to remember that God loved us so much that God became one of us and was born as a little bitty baby and placed in a manger. So today we're doing Christmas in July. We're taking the opportunity to think about the meaning of Jesus' birth and how it always is a reminder to us that God is with us. One of the things that reminds me is that I have Christmas cards that I've gotten from people in the church, and I keep them on my desk looking right at me and saying Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, and it reminds me that God is with us and that Jesus was born into this world for us. So Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Gracious God, we know this isn't the normal time that we celebrate Christmas, but we thank you for an opportunity as a church to think about what the birth of Jesus means for us all year round. Means that you're with us in everything. And we love you so much. Help us to follow you and to share your love with everyone else with the joy of Christmas every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Mr. Nick and Pastor Maggie. And everyone else can go back and sit with family or friends. Okay, I did have someone say to me, it's a little weird. It's a little jarring to celebrate Christmas in July. And I can't remember whose idea it actually was. I mean, there are other churches that do this, and there are certainly stores that have Christmas in July sales. That's a whole other thing. But the idea for us to do it at West End, I can't quite remember where it came from. It may have been our Mercy and Justice team. Since we have this summer schedule, we had the opportunity to use the 11 o'clock hour for different types of events and congregational gatherings. So we've had a blood drive. We had a potluck. Next week, we're doing this big band cookout. It's going to be so much fun. And the Mercy and Justice team wanted to do a Habitat fundraiser, which we'll hear a little bit about in our ministry moment. And so maybe they were the ones who thought, well, maybe we could do Christmas in July. And then as we got together for worship planning, we thought, well, we could do that in worship too. I mean, who doesn't like to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful, any time of the year? And we'll end this service with Joy to the World, which was never really meant to be a Christmas carol anyway. So we thought, why not take the opportunity when we're not in a season that is so layered with all the things to think about the mystery of the incarnation, the truth that God came into this world as a little baby, that God loved us, the God of the universe who created all things, entered into a particular moment in history, into a particular human body for the span of 33 years to be with us and to show us the way of life. Now, normally, on Christmas Eve, we hear the story of the incarnation through Luke's gospel. This is most of us' favorite telling of the story. There are only two gospels, Luke and Matthew, that tell us anything about the details of Jesus' birth. But Luke has got Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, has got the angels and the shepherds and the manger and all of those things that make it so accessible to children. In fact, on Christmas Eve, our tradition here at West End in our first service is to have the children wear costumes and sort of act out the birth story. We have a whole set of costumes up in the theater. We've got sheep. We've got cows. We've got angels. We've got shepherds. We've got magi. And sometimes children bring their own costumes. We've had a tiger at the manger. I think we had Darth Vader come to the manger one year. And it's fun, and it's very human. It's a story we can really embody and experience. And so this morning, I want to remember that story as it's so familiar to us, even if we don't go to church on Christmas Eve or regularly. And I want to hold it alongside these verses from the beginning of John's gospel, the prologue to the gospel of John. There's no Mary, there's no Joseph, there's no baby, there's no manger. There's no who, when, where, and how to the incarnation of Jesus. But it's all about the why. And I think in this moment, these two accounts of the incarnation can bless us in a unique way. In a way that I need to be blessed, and maybe you do too. So let's look first at the familiar story. The one with the shepherds and the angels and Mary and Joseph and the manger. It begins, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus." In those days. It reminds us that the incarnation of God happened at a particular moment in history when Caesar Augustus was in power and the Roman Empire ruled the Western world. It reminds us that Mary and Joseph were unmarried, and yet she was expecting a child. And they were forced by the occupying army and the Roman Empire to travel with Mary, pregnant, from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That they were living under the thumb of an occupying power. And they had to travel in order to be registered for taxes. And once they got to Bethlehem, they couldn't find a place to stay. They were homeless and had to depend on the hospitality of others. And they ended up staying in the room of a house where the animals stayed. And when the Son of God was born, he was placed into a trough that the cows had licked only a few days earlier. And the angels come to the shepherds, some of the most marginalized people in all of Judea, poor and outcast and disrespected. And so we have all of these things happening in this account from Luke that remind us of God's humility and vulnerability, God's willingness to enter the world alongside the poorest of the poor, and to be born like a whisper in a backwater town among people who didn't matter. And so we're reminded by Luke's account of the humility of God and the humanness of Jesus. Theologians might tell us that Luke's account of the birth story is a low Christology. What that means is focusing on Jesus' humanity. As Christians, we believe that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, and a low Christology often emphasizes the humanity of Jesus, the limits of Jesus, the vulnerability of Jesus. Now we get to John's prologue, and it is a high Christology. That's one of the reasons we invited you to remain standing for the reading of the gospel. There is hardly any language in all of the New Testament that is so majestic and so lofty. Whereas Luke's story begins in those days with Caesar Augustus in that moment, John begins his gospel with, "In the beginning." before there was even time that was counted. John takes us all the way back to the book of Genesis, the very beginning of creation. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. And one of the things John does for us, I think, in beginning his gospel with these words, is pointing us to the God who is eternal, who was and is and always shall be, who has always been God known to us in three persons, the Trinity. Now, I know I'm getting a little theological here, but in this moment of creation, we see God the Creator. We see the Spirit brooding over the darkness, the dark void, like a mother hen brooding over her nest. And then God speaks, "Let there be light." And John says, "In the beginning was the Word." And he's pointing us to that second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. And you know my favorite from Augustine, the lover, the beloved, and the love between them. God has always been these three in a communion of love. And in the beginning, John says, was the Word. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. My favorite translation is Eugene Peterson. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. And so we have the God with us in the flesh, but we also have the God before us and beyond all time, who was and is and ever shall be. And I don't know about you, but I need both of these Christmas messages. I need to know that God is with us in this life, in this moment, in the struggles of where we are, in this moment in history. In our own lives, because it's hard right now. I know I've been away in rural Tennessee at my family camp meeting, not looking at my phone very much, but I am aware of the week that we've had as a country. And it's been rough and hard, and there is anger and division, and this election is coming, and I've talked with so many of you who are feeling the deep anxiety of this moment in our nation. Regardless of your political affiliation, things are tough and hard and tense, and there's a lot of anxiety. And I've heard hints of despair. I don't know where our hope will come from. Or hints of idolatry. If we elect this person, he will save us or she will save us. Thinking that any human leader can stand in the place of the Messiah? These are troubled times we're living in. But they were troubled times that Jesus was living in. The Roman Empire, the poverty. There's always been struggle and pain in human life. But to hear the good news that God came into this world just as it is to be one of us and to walk this life with us is where we find our hope. For he alone is our Savior, and he knows our struggles, and his name is Emmanuel, God with us. But I also need the reminder from John's gospel that God is so far beyond this one particular moment in my life and in our lives. That God is God before all time and will always be God. And it is this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, the God of all of the universe who loves you and loves me. And loves this world and is involved in the reconciling, healing work of this world that we're called to take part in. And I need John's good word that the light has come into the world and the darkness did not overcome it. Through Jesus Christ, we who follow him have come to know the light and love of God, full of grace and truth. And there is no darkness Whether it was the grave trying to keep Jesus in, or whatever darkness begins to shadow our own lives, that will ever overcome that light. And this is our hope. And this is our way. So I want to invite us into a time of prayer. I did this a few weeks ago, and I'd like to do it again to guide us in a few moments of prayer and end us in a song, an opportunity for you to receive the good news of Christmas in whatever darkness may be hovering around the edges of your life. So if you'd like to, please, I invite you to close your eyes, or you can keep them open, however you feel comfortable. Place your hand over your heart and acknowledge before God whatever it is that is making you anxious today, afraid, hopeless, angry. Our Lord walked the human life with us, and he knows all of these feelings and experiences. Hear the good news of Emmanuel. God is with us. And now let us imagine the light, the eternal light of God's love and grace and truth, shining in and beyond this moment, reminding us of God's power to overcome all darkness, to hold us and guide us through whatever it is, whether it's a very personal struggle or our community struggle. Hold it into the light. And let that light shine through you and lead you into love of all those you meet. Oh God, our fears are real, and you are with us in this moment of history, and you are also above and beyond all time and every place. You are all. Help us receive the light of your love and be people of light. I want to walk as a child of the light. I want to follow Jesus. God gave his Son to give light to the world. The light of my life is Jesus. In him there is no darkness at all. The night and the day are both alike. The Lamb is the light of the city of God. Shine in my heart, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
As we respond to the word spoken and heard, I invite you to stand as we say together the Nicene Creed as printed in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. As we continue in our time, we come to our time of prayer, and I invite you, as you are able, as the offering plates are passed, there will be gray pew cards in front of you. I invite you to write your prayer requests in those and place those in the offering plates. And if you're worshiping with us online, I invite you to follow the links on the screen to share with us those prayer concerns you have with us. Your pastoral team prays over those weekly, and we look forward to hearing from you and what God is doing in your life. Today, we want to celebrate with a rose on our table Greer Elizabeth Dabbs, who was born on July 12th to Emma Scholl and Spence Dabbs. She is also welcomed by her siblings Eloise and George Dabbs. The service for Reverend James Sewell, who passed away on Sunday, July 14th, will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock here in the sanctuary, and visitation will follow shortly after in Reed Hall. And then the services for Kay Gunther, mother of Weston member Elizabeth McMillan, will be held in the Weston Sanctuary on Saturday, July 27th at 2 p.m., with visitation following in Reed Hall. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, today we have celebrated your coming in light and grace. Through your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, you came into the world to declare your love for all humanity and for all of creation. You drew close to us so we could hear your message more clearly and see your grace for ourselves. We give thanks for the work that you did that we could not do ourselves. Lord, as we worship you this morning and gaze upon your brilliance, we offer you ourselves in return. Recreate us so that we shine your light to those around us. May our hearts be focused on the needs of those whose lives we have entered. We seek to be a part of the creative work you do every day, God. And as we see the needs of the world around us, we ask for your presence with those who are experiencing grief, trauma, heartbreak, terror, or fear. For those who are living in the midst of war or conflict, we ask for your wisdom to prevail and for peace to come to fruition. For those who suffer through a diagnosis and treatment, we ask you, God, to make your presence known. For all of the things that sit upon our hearts, we offer them to you in the knowledge that you offer your grace in all situations. Lord, as we receive the gift of your grace today, in this moment, in this hour, our hands are open to the work you are doing in our life to make us more like you. We trust that you go before us, calling us to step out into your light to help light the world. May today be a day where we can begin to live into this call more fully. And as we join together in the prayer you taught us to pray, we pray in unity both here and around the world with all of your saints, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As was mentioned before, today is Christmas in July, and part of that celebration is celebrating our connection with our local Habitat for Humanity office. So I want to invite Reverend Kevin Roberts to come forward to share a little bit about that connection.
And first, I want to say thank you. This has nothing to do with Habitat for Humanity. To your pastoral staff, the leadership of the choir, committees, individuals who make this worship happen. I started my spiritual journey as a Baptist, and now I'm Episcopalian, which means I'm very at home in a Methodist service of worship. And all these things that happen with the leadership of the Holy Spirit to arrange moments of transcendence for us in this place. I will say thank you for those transcendent moments that you have allowed me to feel in this place. So that is my personal thank you for this worship that we have experienced together. Thank you on behalf of Habitat for Humanity, West End United Methodist Church's fingerprints and heartprints are all over this city. Over 1,000 Habitat for Humanity homeowners live in Habitat for Humanity homes built by people just like you. Thank you so, so much for how you've been involved and invested in this ministry. Here is the newsflash. Since 1985, Habitat for Humanity has been engaging our city with you in the affordable housing crisis. Newsflash is, we hadn't solved it yet. We know that. So thank you for endeavoring to continue to partner with us in ministry. As I said, started out Baptist, now I'm Episcopalian. But there's a book that I have on my shelf in the office. And I know, Carol, when you saw me come up here with the book, you thought, oh, no. I promise you'll appreciate how short this section is. But these are words written. These aren't my words. These are the words from the Reverend Bill Barnes. He wrote this book called To Love a City. And in the end, he has some thanks and instruction. Talks about his journey as pastor of Edge Hill United Methodist Church. He says, through the lens of the Jesus story, a congregation and I have loved a city, warts and all. And we have loved that neighborhood in a special and persistent way. We have deemed it faithfulness to the story to be present and responsive to human need, and to be greatly blessed in the process. Given the world and its swelling cities, so filled with aspirations and brokenness, surely the church is called to be present and to be an agent of healing. Let me affirm you today that this is you. You are an agent of blessing and healing, not just in the homes you help Habitat build. You are an agent of blessing and healing for the signs that rim your campus that say, everyone welcome, and I know you mean it. It is a privilege for Habitat to be involved in ministry with you. You've heard my thank you. You've heard my affirmation of who you are through the words of Reverend Bill Barnes. And my invitation for you is to continue to partner with us. We have this thing called Methodist Build that you've been a part of. You may know some congregations, some friends, from the Baptist perspective or the Episcopal perspective. They don't even have to be Methodists for you to invite them to partner in this ministry of affordable housing with us. Share the good news of what you are doing for our future homeowners. Thank you so much. Thanks be to God for your presence in this place and for taking what you experience in here and setting it out. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin. Let us now gather our gifts together as we have been called and encouraged and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give you the options listed on the screen. We're here in the sanctuary. We will pass plates down the rows. You can also use the QR code that is in the bulletin to give in that way. May we all remember that God multiplies our gifts in our beloved community. And today, may we give with joy.
the world. Love to the world. Peace to the world. Hope to the world. That is our calling. Let us go. Amen.